from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios on the road. We are broadcasting from the 36th annual Big Iron Farm Show in the Red River Valley Fairgrounds in West Fargo. Day two of the show, and of course we have one more day coming up tomorrow. And we will cover the activities going on today and tomorrow during Inside Agriculture. So if you don't have your program or you're not going online or you need information, hopefully we'll give it to you later in the program. Now, when it comes to Inside Agriculture, big story today. Bayer and Monsanto today announced that they signed a definitive merger agreement under which Bayer will acquire Monsanto for $128 per share in an all-cash transaction. Now, Monsanto's board of directors, Bayer's board of management, and Bayer's supervisory board have unanimously approved the agreement based on Monsanto's closing share price on May 9th. Now, that was the day before Bayer's first written proposal to Monsanto. The offer represents a premium of 44% to that price. We're pleased to announce the combination of our two great organizations. It represents a major step forward for our crop science business and reinforces Bayer's leadership position as a global innovation-driven life science company with leadership positions in its core segments, delivering substantial value to shareholders, our customer employees, and society at large. That according to Werner Baumann, CEO of Bayer Ag. Now, today's announcement's a statement in a testament to everything we've achieved and the value that we created for our shareholders at Monsanto. We believe that this combination with Bayer represents the most compelling value for our shareholders with the most certainty through the all-cash consideration. That according to Hugh Grant, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Monsanto. Also, when it comes to what's going on with this deliverance, we know that Chuck Grassley, the Judiciary Chair in the Senate, has set up a hearing on the 20th of September, and it has to do with the Big Six becoming the Big Three, where we're looking at what the board of directors of all these companies are thinking and what it's actually going to mean to the farmer. Hopefully it's not going to be a bad situation for farmers, but actually when the Big Six becomes the Big Three, my personal opinion is not a good thing for farmers and ranchers. Well, as we continue on with what's going on inside agriculture, and again, we're broadcasting from the 36th annual Big Iron Farm Show on the fairgrounds in West Fargo, Red River Valley Fairgrounds. And of course, we'll be here all day today as well as again tomorrow. Well, the National Farmers Union and Farm Aid Groups have partnered to send 275 farm families to Washington this week to seek help for farmers struggling through the current economic downturn. Now, both organizations say that American farmers can't afford to wait for assistance until after the November election. They're asking Congress for emergency relief for the hardest-hit farmers, increased funding for U.S. Department of Agriculture farm loan programs, and resources to help provide a remedy for low commodity prices, all be included in the upcoming congressional spending package in fiscal year 2017. Now, Roger Johnson, National Farmers Union president, said low commodity prices and high input costs have been relentless, and 2014 Farm Bill safety net programs have failed to deliver the relief farmers and ranchers need to help them recover. Net farm income is forecast to be 43% lower than in 2013, yet farm production expenses are 4% higher than last year at this time. Now, every week, we hear from family farmers and ranchers facing these challenges on their farms. That according to Carolyn Mooger, Executive Director of Farm Aid. This is becoming the new normal for many farmers and ranchers across the United States. Also, when it comes to what's going on inside agriculture, a unanimous ruling from the U.S. 8th Circuit Court of Appeals and the EPA violated the personal privacy rights of farmers and ranchers. Danielle Quist is the Senior Counsel for Public Policy with the American Farm Bureau Federation. And she said it's a big win for agriculture.
Frankly, it's a big win for privacy in the internet world, for all citizens. The Eighth Circuit ruled that when you have personal information, like your home address, your phone number, your email address, even like for farmers and ranchers, when you actually live on the farm, that's still considered personal information. You still have a substantial privacy interest in that information, even when it can be found here and there on the internet.
Now, the court said that type of information is not subject to mandatory disclosure under the Freedom of Information Act because it's protected by Exemption 6, which is for personal and medical information. EPA was in the process of gathering this type of information about poultry and livestock producers from state regulators. And several groups made Freedom of Information Act requests for that information.
And EPA collected the information from the states and handed it to them in a very large database that contains personal information about tens and thousands of livestock and poultry producers from 29 states. We didn't learn about it until after the information had been released. EPA didn't talk to us, anybody in the agricultural world, and they certainly didn't ask the people whose personal phone numbers were on those lists if they were okay with this release.
Now, American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Pork Producers Council filed a lawsuit against the EPA when they found out the agency was about to release more information on farmers from another seven states. So what's next in the case?
What to do with the data that's already out there? It's been released now for 3 years. When we brought it to their attention that we believe that they violated FOIA, they did a recall of the data from the requesters, and then they did what we thought was a very narrow review for privacy purposes, and then did another release, and then they actually recalled some data again. They've shown that they can recall this data from the FOIA requesters, and we expect as a first step, that is what they will do next.
Now, she said the American Farm Bureau will continue to work to ensure that personal information about farmers and ranchers is not disclosed by the Environmental Protection Agency. Well, we're going to take a break here. However, when we come back, we've got some results from Louisiana that isn't pretty. And exactly how much damage was done by all that rain that hit that state. We're actually going to come back and talk with Dr. Kurt Guidry, Louisiana State University ag economist, about all that right after this. Well, as we mentioned before we took the break, and by the way, we're in the Meridian Manufacturing Studios on the road at Big Iron 2016. Well, the Louisiana State University Ag Centers released new figures on crop and livestock losses from last month's flooding and heavy rains. Ag Center economist Dr. Kurt Guidry says the latest estimate is more than twice the original estimate.
And that number is now at $277 million across the state. Again, this is a function of the excessive rain and flooding that we've gotten in the southern part of the state, as well as the persistent rainfall that really affected the entire state whole month of August and into September. In fact, we still have some areas that are getting that persistent rainfall that has continued to delay harvest and delay other field operations that's causing some additional issues for our producers. So we're looking at a total number of about $277 million, and that's going to include reductions to gross farm receipt. It also includes increases in farm production costs. Those are going to be predominantly looking at increased harvest costs because having to harvest under these wet conditions.
Now, Guidry says that figure also includes increased harvest costs.
Because having to harvest under these wet conditions, increased land tillage, once producers go in and harvest these crops under these really wet conditions, really disrupts the land. Producers are going to have to go in there and do some additional land tillage and land preparation work to get that land back into shape for production for future years. In the case of livestock producers, we looked at the cost of transporting cattle, having to relocate cattle from flooded areas to drier ground. So we looked at an estimate of what it cost producers to move those cattle and relocate those cattle, as well as increased feeding costs associated with lost forage. A lot of these pastures were underwater for a few days to several days, and so we've lost forage, in some cases, a couple of weeks.
And, of course, again, Dr. Kurt Guidry, Louisiana State University ag economist. Not good conditions in Louisiana. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, it sounds like we're charging China with the World Trade Organization. And guess what? They're not being fair. We're going to talk about it right after this. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture from Big Iron 2016, yeah, we've got issues out there. The Obama administration is bringing a WTO case against China, alleging illegal support of corn, wheat, and rice. China became a WTO member in 2001 with the hope that Beijing would abide by World Trade Organization rules. Now, if not, the U.S. or others could then bring trade complaints against China. Now, the U.S. Trade Representative's Office and the U.S. Department of Agriculture are bringing a WTO complaint against Beijing for exceeding allowable support levels for corn, wheat, and rice by $100 billion last year alone. Senator and former finance panel chair with trade jurisdiction, Chuck Grassley, argues that the problem for the U.S. isn't free trade deals.
I've said during this debate, particularly at the presidential debate level between Clinton and Trump, where they seem to agree that they don't want free trade agreements, I've always said that the problem isn't free trade agreements. The problem is our free trade agreements aren't always fair agreements.
And Grassley said the key is enforcement.
People want a level playing field, and stuff that we're filing against China on corn, wheat, and soybeans is a major issue. The fact that we're doing it is kind of doing what I said we don't do enough of, and that is be very vigorous, whether it's countervailing duties or whether it's arbitration before the WTO, we need to be more forceful.
Now, Grassley argues having a level playing field for U.S. imports and exports is more the issue than whether to have free trade deals. The U.S. WTO case against China, like other WTO cases, will likely go through a year-long process or years-long process of consultation and arbitration before being decided well into the next administration. Well, today's the second day of Big Iron 2016. And, of course, we want you to join us here at Big Iron. We'll be broadcasting throughout the day and, of course, again tomorrow, the third day of Big Iron. Also, for all you fine folks up in Minot, North Dakota, listening on KCJB 910, want to remind you we're going to be broadcasting live from the Heartland Ag Showcase coming up mid-November. Looking forward to coming up and visiting with you folks as well. That's during the Heartland Ag Showcase, and we will be broadcasting live. But going on today at Big Iron, again, we're in the second day. Pancake breakfast going until 10:30, free will offering. North Dakota and Minnesota FFA Foundation silent auction is going on today from 9 o'clock until 3 o'clock. Health screenings from 9 to 4, 10 to 1. Women's Day activities, a ladies' brunch style show. And, of course, that going on at the Hilton Garden Inn at 4351 17th Avenue South in Fargo. Also, United Blood Services, Blood Mobiles on the grounds, craft show until 5 o'clock, that at Bonanzaville. Also, Managing Margins, Positioning for Success, Brett Elke, Innovis Agra, Frayn Olson, North Dakota State University, gets underway at 10:30. Field demonstrations on the grounds from 1 to 3 o'clock this afternoon, and a market outlook seminar that gets underway at 1:30. That's a look at Inside Agriculture from Big Iron 2016. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.